The presentation today is called Recovering by Reverend Matt Aspen. Reverend Matt is our full-time contract minister for this church year. His presentation is entitled Reconvening and relates to our seventh UU principle, respect for the interdependent web of which we are all a part.
For those of you who are in the room here today, it is so very good to be together in person here with you today. Yay! It's okay to applaud. We can applaud. We can make noise. Yes. Take a moment to just look around and offer a smile to those that you have been... Whoa! What's happening? What are we doing? Take my mask off?
No, we can't smile.
Oh. You smile with your eyes. It's okay. Your very presence here is medicine for countless others in the room that have been starved for the life-giving balm of personal connection. And for those of you that are joining us via Zoom, we see you, we miss you, and I promise we will not forget you. One of the conditions I insisted upon as part of our reopening plans was a guarantee that we never lose sight of those of you who, for whatever reason, are not yet ready to reconvene, or perhaps never will be able to rejoin us again. Ours is a life-giving faith, and whether you're able to join us here in person on the next Sunday morning, or not until next month, or next year, or perhaps never again, know that we will never leave you alone. You are a valued member of this community, and we will continue to work to ensure that you're able to connect in as meaningful a way as we can muster. We have had new tech volunteers sign up. Thank you, Mary, for today. And we will continue to evaluate how we deliver our programs to ensure that your needs and your experiences stay front of mind. For those of you in the room, I was very intentional about the elements of our service today. Moments ago, we spent some very beautiful, very mindful time doing what used to be the most mundane thing imaginable, just breathing together. Something we always used to think of as a solely individual activity. My, how things have changed. The pandemic has rendered the invisible interdependent web which connects us all, which we used to just take as an article of faith, completely visible. As groups of humans breathe together on the other side of the world, we have become very aware that a pathogen can be passed between two people, and then four, and then 16, and then 32, and soon. Yesterday marked the 2-year anniversary of the World Health Organization declaring COVID-19 a pandemic. Our country alone is closing in on 1 million deaths attributed to this disease, which we have learned is passed from person to person by the simple act of breathing in and breathing out. Will we ever take that simple act for granted again? I asked the musicians to add a song and tried to turn our usual silent meditation into a small regathering ritual. We didn't do anything different. We were all in here breathing together anyway. But I wanted to bring focus to that act. To have us spend a little bit of time intentionally breathing together, embraced by the comfort of a familiar tune, sung by the folks that many of you have grown accustomed to hear singing. This is a small form of spirituality. We are here together today. In this moment, the virus which has kept us in its grip for so long seems to have retreated. Now, there are no guarantees in life. Perhaps we'll wake up tomorrow and things will be different once again. But today, at least, in this space, You that have gathered have decided that the benefit of coming back together into the loving embrace of this community was worth any level of risk that may currently still remain. For the past 2 years, most all of us were scared to leave our homes. So many have lost loved ones or friends or acquaintances. All of us have had our lives impacted in one way or another. Canceled events, missed birthdays and graduations and memorial services, dreams deferred, opportunities lost that can never be regained. And now we are here, but undeniably with a different sense of the world than when this had all begun. Are you safe? Am I safe? Are we safe? Even if you are one that feels healthy and strong and looks at the numbers and believes yourself to be at almost no risk in this moment, you're probably at least prepared to whisper the new prayers that we have all learned to utter in one form or another whenever we venture out into public. Oh Lord, please don't even let a smidgen of dust tickle my nose and cause me to sneeze. On the other hand, you may utter that other prayer that we often hear, that when another person sneezes in our proximity, please let them be masked, please let them be vaxxed, and please let them be boosted. Amen. The world has changed in ways that we won't be able to comprehend for decades to come. Some things for the better, some things not a lot, some things in ways we may never comprehend. Sociologists are already beginning to tell us that our collective view of the role that work and family have in our lives is in the midst of shifting in fundamental ways. The concept of church and community, which had already been undergoing a transformation for decades, will experience profound shifts as well, in ways that we don't yet know. Now, it's not like the other challenges of the world took a hiatus while this virus forced us to pause. Although there was a significant short-term reduction in the belching out of fossil fuels into the atmosphere, so there is one small glimmer of light in that mess. The very day after we made the final decision to reconvene, Russia invaded Ukraine. So many in this room have a personal connection to that part of the world. We all mourn the senseless killing. While the phrase World War III gets bandied about as though we have become so immune to crisis that this is viewed as socially acceptable headline. I am grateful that the UU Service Corps is marshaling the efforts and resources of our faith communities to provide relief for the brave citizens of Ukraine. Conservative state legislators around the country continue to try to gerrymander their districts to disenfranchise the already marginalized and push through bogus legislation to deny the personhood of our gay and trans brothers and sisters and others. I'm grateful also for the Get Out the Vote efforts under the umbrella of the national UU Side with Love campaigns. If you are not already familiar with the actions your faith is taking collectively, I always invite you to explore the UUA website and search for the keywords of the causes that are meaningful to you. Our collective impact will always be greater than any of us might achieve alone. So, where do we go from here? Beyond responding as we can to the many crises of our time, where do we, the members of this community, go from here? The other week, I spoke about grief and how grief is the physical response to loss. We have all lost so much. If you recall, ideally, in the face of that type of loss, what we need to do is rest. to acknowledge the traumas we have experienced, to listen to the sadness we may notice just below the surface, to the anxiety that causes us to want to turn away, to the pangs of our souls crying out for reconnection. So this is what I am encouraging us all to do. It is not time to take on the next set of work we know is needed to help our community adapt and thrive and grow in the coming years. For at least a short while, we must allow ourselves just to be. Just to be together. To reconnect with old friends. To have some collective fun. And my goodness, whenever we can, to sing. But even as we attempt to rest, we must also slowly begin the work of strengthening ourselves for whatever the next crisis is. Because although the spring is coming, and the birds and the flowers and warmer days will soon return, it is inevitable that new challenges will emerge. So many folks in this community have expressed to me a desire for spiritual strengthening, for deeper connection, for the creation of some semblance of safety in a world that seems bent on seeing how far we can bend before we are ready to break. And as we come back together, we must prioritize the essential work that we know can best be accomplished only in a community such as this. Like raising children that have the skills to understand what their unique gifts are and equipped to survive and hopefully thrive in an ever more challenging world. We must strengthen our individual selves through our faith. Be on the lookout in the coming weeks for a series of classes I will be offering that will help participants deepen their understandings of the tenets of this faith and their connections to others in this community. Each of us will enter the next phase of this pandemic with different concerns. As we know, some are still not ready to enter this space. Some have been ready to return and shed their masks for quite some time. So what does our faith call us to do? For now, we are moving forward cautiously. And this is where I offer the reminder that Unitarian Universalism isn't a believe-whatever-you-want faith. As renowned Unitarian and humanist James Luther Adams noted in his seminal work, A Faith for the Free, not every kind of freedom is permissible in this community. If the community possesses no recognizable form and criteria, except that it offers absolute freedom, then it will be utterly undependable. The faith of free persons must tangibly make them free in a community of human dignity and equal justice. As the pandemic raged on, many of us pointed our fingers and shook our heads in disgust at those we labeled as selfish, that willfully denied the science, refused to even consider the possibility of vaccination, and flaunted their lack of mask wearing under the banner of personal freedom. We watched many of those individuals die. We watched the numbers spike up in large measure because of their choices. And we found ourselves incensed at their egocentric self-centeredness. How could anyone be so callous? As the pandemic wore on and waxed and waned and felt at times terrifying and at other times to be in remission, the mask became for many a symbol of not only self-protection, but a symbol of what it means to be a good neighbor. For me, as we watched the pandemic hopefully begin to peter out, the wearing of a mask for those of us who no longer feel any fear serves as a symbol to our neighbors for whom catching COVID could still create a very challenging medical emergency that we value your safety. We will each make our own assessments of what is safe, but here's the question. How willing are we to wear a mask when we no longer believe that we need to? But when somebody in our community that we care about says, I need you to keep wearing that mask so that I can feel safe. At the very least, I remain committed to continue to endure this slight annoyance if I know that it will make it possible for even just one or two more members of this beloved community to gather together to receive the life-giving balm that exists when we connect. This is ultimately what our faith is calling us to do in this moment in history. For the strong among us to be willing to take the steps requested by those who express fear, who say, if you would just do this one thing and be willing to do it consistently and be willing to do it long after you have to, this is what it would take for me to feel safe. We are coming back together into a new world. We must continually examine who feels safe in our spaces and who does not. Not just from COVID, but from any number of traumas that different folks have had to endure in their lives. From racism, to homophobia, to theologies that prioritize fear and anger over love and joy. If we do nothing else, let us learn this lesson from the toils of these pandemic years. We are all connected. Each of the choices we make has the potential to save lives and expand the presence of love in the world, or to fan the flames of fear and continue our disconnection. Many of us watch the bravery of the people of Ukraine and lament, have we lost our collective will to stand up and fight against the tyrants that seek to destroy? I would argue that it is because we have lost our sense of being a part of the collective. This community, you, continue to inspire me. You clearly have so much love for each other. You are self-directed, and you did everything you could do to find creative ways to stay connected as the world tried over and over and over to keep us apart. As we begin to come back together and consider what's next, let us commit to considering how all of our actions strengthen and expand the life-giving sustenance that is available when we bind together in our common humanity. What happens to one of us happens to all of us. We are all connected, and we all need each other to survive. And if there are to be brighter days ahead, it will be because more of us keep making choices that consider not only what is comfortable for each of us, but what is ultimately best for all of us. For now, today, we are here together, and it is joyful. Blessed be, and may it continue to be so.
Thank you so much.